All right, let's talk about what is the deal with Shelton.
What is the deal with Shelton?
No one's been able to report this, and I have a feeling someone could call right now and tell us what's really happening.
There you go. See?
Because, you know, the media, they don't have inside connections like we do with you.
Right.
And you know what's happening.
You got a man or girl inside.
Because you're either going to Shelton High or you have a child going to Shelton High or you've heard something.
Mm-hmm. I went to school high.
But there's a lot of theories out there. That's funny because we had this song that we would sing, Shelton High, Shelton High, and we changed the word to Shelton's High, Shelton's High.
Nice.
Several Shelton High School employees under investigation. Principal forced on administrative leave.
What happened?
I shall stroke my chin and look suspiciously.
Just got a text from Mayor Loretti.
Good job.
Hold on. Exactly. Fill some time there, AJ. Mm-hmm.
Suddenly an urgent message from Shelton. Could it be the mayor? He says, hi, Chaz. LOL.
Gotta give him the
stop talking about this, please.
I need you to keep this going to tolls.
Go back to tolls.
Exactly, right?
We want you to pitch every day at 6 o'clock.
Exactly. I look forward to it, actually.
All right, so if the hotline goes, it's the mayor of Shelton. He won't be able to comment. I think we'll get more information out of you, right?
Yes, right.
Okay, so call 1-877-764 2535. But there's this investigation. It involves an incident between two students that happened at school Tuesday, March 26th. It's resulted in the forced administrative leave of Shelton High School principal Beth Smith. We've heard this name on the show before we've called her Darth Vader.
Yep.
She's always at the center of some problem screwing with the kids. All right. They had the prom dress thing.
Yep.
You had the promposal thing.
Right.
The kid couldn't go to the prom because of the way he proposed.
Yep.
And then they had the whole thing where they didn't want to name the kid during graduation who died in the accident.
Yeah.
He didn't complete an English class.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was insane. Like,
it
was
nuts.
Woman, there's something about, it's like, can you just lighten up? Every year, there's a story about her doing something.
Always around the end of the year, yeah.
Yeah.
She hates kids.
Well, this time it's early.
She must.
Wishing a bad
she
job
must.
For
like,
it.
Like, if you hate kids this much, don't be involved. But we don't really know the inner workings of the story.
No.
That's why you're principal.
I believe that it was two kids, something happened, and then the way the administration handled it
was
a problem.
Gotcha.
Gave
him ice cream? No.
Someone yesterday was saying, oh, no, it sounds like she had sex with a student. I'm like, no.
Come on.
Trust me.
No. Now you're just making stuff up.
Exactly. And a bad visual. No. Thank you.
Or you're just assuming if it's in the news and it's about a like, that's what it's got to be.
Oh, it's right. Got to be sex. It's always about sex.
Yeah. No, that is not it. So no one really from Shelton knows anything about this.
Well, they're good. Keeping lit on
I'm sure the mayor. So I texted the mayor, who I'm very good friends with.
Yes.
Good morning, Mayor. Are you awake? Yes. And then I texted him the hotline number, and now nothing. So he must have turned on the radio.
Heard it.
Like, oh, no.
Right.
Because basically all he says in this piece here I'm reading from, quote, they're looking to see if protocols were followed, the general statutes that protect the youth in the country, particularly in schools.
Toyotes.
What does that mean?
No idea. A lot of jargon.
Sounds like it might involve, civil rights or something.
Oh, okay. Mm. Right.
Right.
That's not sex.
Something happened, and then now maybe the administration didn't handle it correctly.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why the forced leave.
How many times can you have one principal of one school get in a mess and then just say, yeah, good work, keep at it?
There's all these news stories and like frames in her office.
Wow, I actually thought we'd learned something here.
We learned that
no one knows anything.
As we learned,
this isn't like Goodfellas. Right? Right. You call in. Right. You know, you're not ratting anyone out.
Yeah, it wasn't informing.
Telling us what's happening.
Exactly right.
Right.
You change your name.
All right. So the mayor's not going to call.
No.
See.
No. You know, call off in the morning at the poop. Maybe.
What's that?
Maybe it's the poop.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
Wait, the mayor, you think the mayor is pooping right now?
Possibly, yeah.
Should He's a person, you know?
Yeah. You can still talk on the
Should
phone.
Should I call him and see what happens?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, here's the thing with this. We're not getting anything out of him.
No, of course not. You know, that political jargon. Hey, how you doing?
Well, it's going to be no comment.
Right.
All things are good in the city.
Everything's okay.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You're on the air. Is that okay?
Of course.
Oh, all right. What's going on at the high school?
I think things are pretty much the same as they were 2 days ago.
Right.
Which was?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy situation. I think that the superintendent may have pushed the button a little too quick, but we don't know that.
Oh,
gotcha.
Okay.
Premature button.
So you're saying, based on the information you know, maybe the principal should not have been sent home on administrative leave.
Well, I probably would have taken a different tact. I think that probably administrative leave was a little bit too quick until more information was gathered. You know, if there was a singular issue that was jumping out centered around her, then maybe yes. But there, I think that the police are looking at multiple people. And, you know, why her? Why are we just putting her on administrative leave?
Right.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I'm trying to read between the lines of this, what's being reported. And my guess is that something happened between a couple of kids, and then it was reported, and then what happened after it was reported became a problem, and certain people knew and did nothing about it, and those are the people being investigated.
Well, no, I think it's more that the police were called to the school because of an incident that involved two juveniles, and I think that they, once they got there, they were wondering if the protocols for how it was handled were followed by school personnel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And was it a physical confrontation or was it bullying?
I don't have all the details to that, but I imagine that there was some form of bullying that took place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe on both ends, you know, between the two students and then with school officials and trying to ascertain the problem.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Bullying comes in different forms these days.
I got you.
Yep, all kinds of things.
Okay. I'm not going to put you in a position where, you know, you get in trouble or whatever, but it sounds like something happened, and then during the questioning and investigation of that incident, the teachers may not have acted right and may have, I don't want to use the word bully, but went over the line in terms of investigating this and what they could do and say.
Right, because there are certain protocols that need to be followed. There are certain general statutes that protect people's individual rights, particularly juveniles. And I think that the law enforcement officials may have seen some irregularities, and that's what they're investigating.
Gotcha. So as mayor, you can't hire the principal of Shelton High, right? That's done by the Board of Ed?
It's done by the Board of Ed.
Mm. Right. And you can't hire the whoever. What's the title for the person who's the Board of Ed director or whatever, the top person?
The chairman of the board.
Chairman.
That's
right. Wow. Right. So if you had a choice as mayor to pick off one of these people, who would you replace first, the principal or the Board of Ed chair?
Well, it really starts with the superintendent because he or she is responsible for the day-to-day operation of the school system and the answer to the board chair.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So superintendent. That would be on the mayor's wish list if he could change anything.
Yeah, but a lot of this direction comes, yes, it would, absolutely.
All right.
That along with how boards of education are selected because, right. You know, they're
anyway, I'm getting into weeds here. I was just wondering if, you know, because I know things happen over there and you're not happy with it. You run a good city, Mayor. So thank you for coming on.
Okay.
All right. Keep in touch.
I will.
All right. Thanks. All right. Mayor Mark Loretti of Shelton.
I'm back to sleep.
He does a great job.
He does.
Over there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back to bed now?
Taxes are low, services high, and yeah, now he's going to go back to bed. I didn't ask him if he was in the middle of what AJ thought he might be in.
Possibly. He said he would leave. He really did.
Yeah.
Probably good to stay away from that one.
Yeah. The tone of his voice, you could tell.
I feel like we now know more about this story than any place where I've been reading or, so we got to the... We got to the bottom of it without reporting too much, I think.
One bad visual.
Rolling Stones frontman Mick Jagger is set to undergo heart surgery tomorrow. He's having a stent put in. He's 75 years old.
But a spry 75.
How dangerous is this? Let's ask Dr. Dar, chief of cardiac surgery at Heart and Vascular Center, Bridgeport Hospital. Dangerous, Doc?
It is dangerous if left untreated. And this in this day and age, we've gotten very good at fixing this kind of problem. We have many different options for different kind of patients. So I think it has become a lot safer than it used to be in the past.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
He's doing surgery. Sorry.
Don't drop the phone in the hole. Yeah, better.
Much better.
Better, Doc. Okay. So is the surgery itself dangerous?
It has become a lot safer than it used to be. Just to put things in perspective, there are four heart valves. These valves are made of collagen-like material. So just like our knees and hips start wearing out with aging, these heart valves also are subject to wear and tear. And as we get older, they start wearing out.
Yeah, they're like hoses, constantly under pressure.
Right.
So eventually,
constantly
they're...
under pressure. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Possible complications during the surgery?
So this is heart surgery, whether we do it minimally invasive, whether we do it percutaneous, which is what in this day and age is called transcatheter aortic valve replacement. This is a inherently dangerous procedure, but now can be done very, very safely with less than 1% risk of a major complication.
Wow, less than 1%. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
The complication that one worries about are stroke, death, major bleeding. But, you know, as technology is improving, these risks are actually on their way down.
Wait, what was the second one? Death?
Death.
Mm. Correct.
Mm. I would have led with that one.
I would have put that one. I would have put that one first
death
before stroke.
Exactly.
I would have put death, stroke, bleeding. Yeah, that's just me. What's the recovery time? Because they're saying he's going to be back out on the road.
That is correct. So if we do it through the transcatheter strategies, then most people are in a hospital for about 24, maximum 48 hours. Wow. And they're back to work within a week. And he'd be touring, I think, this fall.
Wow. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. The hard part is getting to sit still for the operation.
Absolutely.
How long will that stent last?
So it's a valve that is loaded onto a stent. The valve is made of either bovine pericardium, meaning cow tissue, or porcine pericardium, which is pig tissue. And cows and pigs were not meant to live to be 100, so these valves usually are good for about 10 to 12 years.
Okay, and he's 35, do the math. Okay.
So if he's still alive when he needs, when this valve wears out, he won't be he'll be too old to get another one.
No, he should be able to get another one. We now frequently do these procedures in folks who are in their 90s, and they do extremely well.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Life is very good after that.
Nice.
What's the age range? I think we all know someone, no matter what age you are, that said, and if I didn't go, I would have, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So different heart valves disintegrate at different ages.
Yeah, I guess I just asked, when does a car break down? Well, it depends.
And
right?
On your usage, yes.
Yeah, so that's too general of a question.
Yeah, how bad you beat it up.
What are the signs that you need to go see someone? Because my theory is he was rehearsing for the tour, singing, running, doing cardio, and then realized he couldn't catch his breath.
Something's
go see
here.
A doctor. They figured that out. Are those, what are the other signs?
So that's a very good question. This is a problem that can happen to anybody. It's more related to your age and the wear and tear that the valve has had, not so much related to your profession or your ethnicity. So we are all susceptible to this problem. And if you live long enough, we'll all probably end up having some degree of this problem. The valves that usually malfunction are usually the ones that function in the left side of the heart, because that's where the majority of the stress is. It's a very big, powerful, muscular, strong pump, and it pumps very vigorously, and these valves take a lot of beating, for the lack of a better word. So there are two valves that we worry about. One valve is the aortic valve, which usually gets stiff and calcified and does not open properly.
But you know what I'm like? I'm like, all right, doc, I need a valve. I don't care which one it is.
It's like a PCV.
But what are the signs that, you know, you may want to go see a doctor? Is it shortness of breath?
So that's where I was getting to.
Sorry.
It's a very good question. But if you understand what the problem with the valve is, you'll understand why they cause these symptoms. So since the valve does not open properly, the whole body starves of oxygen. Your mind, your body, muscles in your legs, the muscles in your arms, the whole body starves of oxygen. So the number one complaint is that people feel fatigued. They tire easily. They take a lot more naps in the afternoon. Chores that they could do easily without an interruption, now they have to break them down in order to complete that chore, which is basically what was happening with Mick Jagger.
And if
you recall, our friend Arnold Schwarzenegger has had two of these procedures. He's had two valve replacements.
David Letterman. I mean, the list goes on.
And that is huge.
And we all know somebody who had to go get this done.
Yep.
And if they didn't,
they wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah. If he didn't discover this and went out on tour, probably a good chance things would not have gone well.
So that is exactly what happens. If left untreated, it almost always catches up with you. The problem with especially with the aortic valve problem is that it has a very long latent period, which in plain and simple language means that you can have it for many years and really are able to compensate for it, but that when it catches up with you and you start getting short of breath, you get from bad to worse very quickly. And sometimes to the point that people end up in emergency rooms, they get intubated, meaning on a ventilator, they get admitted to the hospital. So if left untreated and if you neglect it too far, it can be quite dangerous and eventually people can succumb to it.
You know, guys have this thing, though, like, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm good.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine.
Good. Yeah, no problem.
You got to just, you're not going to be fine if you don't get checked out. That's
exactly.
Why you go get checked
right.
out. All right, Doc, thanks. I'm sorry?
That's the key thing, that checking out and listening for a murmur and having a routine checkup with a good family physician or a cardiologist is the key. If they detect a murmur, then they do what's called an echocardiogram, and that's how we find out what these heart valve problems are.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Dar. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a nice day. Thank
all
you so
right,
much
too.
For calling
yep.
us.
Yep. Oh, our pleasure.
Now, back to surgery.
Got to call the best. You know.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Chief of Cardiac Surgery. I mean, you don't get that by being the, Pam of the group.
He didn't start in the mailroom, no.
What do you mean?
No.
I don't know.
Well, because you
feel
your way in.
Right.
So How long could you be mad at me?
We had to pick you, yeah.
You're gone in a couple weeks.
Only another 13 days.
The rest
days.
Is coming up.
Another 16 days.
You can't be the chief of surgery if you're one of us on this show.
Exactly right. Let's make it universal over here.
Thank you.
Universal.
Do you think he mows his own lawn?
Of course he does.
At Heart and Vascular Center at Bridgeport Hospital.
For the cardio.
I should have asked him.
Yeah, for cardio. He walked behind.
Yeah, it's heart healthy.
Exactly.
You know who mowed his own lawn when we interviewed him?
Who? Oh, yes.
Antonin Scalia.
Chief Justice Antonin Scalia.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In a robe.
Didn't he have a heart attack, though?
I don't think he was Chief Justice,
no.
but he was a Supreme Court Justice.
Yeah, they found him. They found him dead. They weren't quite sure what happened.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's right. He did die of a heart attack.
He did. No, well,
maybe
they
Phyllis
don't know.
Figured it out.
They don't know. Natural cause and room and natural gas.
Yeah. All right. You have a song about Mick Jagger?
Yeah, I decided.
We're going to do it live?
Yeah, we're going to do it live.
I like this. This is fun.
Oh,
live
wow.
is fun.
And right from the beginning, Phil.
Okay, here we go, AJ.
All right. Have to count these things. And here we go. Oh, help me, please. My heart ain't working. My arm is numb. Of this I'm certain. All I need to go to emergency. Hey, did you know my heart ain't working? Can't do no dancing. Can't
do no twerking. All I want's to tour when I'm 93.
Not sure if I want to see the twerking.
It won't pump enough. It don't beat enough. Blood ain't rich enough. Life flash in front of me. Oh, help me, please. My heart ain't working. Get in the car. Let's see a surgeon now. Get me on a stretcher now. Prep me, baby. Heart surgery. It is hard enough, and it's pretty rough to imagine that Keith might just outlive me. Oh, sister. Thank you.
Nice.
Oh, that was great.
That was well done.
Funny, and you didn't screw it up.
Thank you. I was hoping.
Are you out of breath?
Yes, I am.
You get your heart checked.
I will.
Sit down.
Heart-shaped box.
Ha!
See, here. See what we did there?
Ha!
I'm surrounded by some badass women right now.
There you go.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, Trooper First Class Grant and Trooper Cummings. And, you know, we have Trooper Grant in the studio so many times. I don't know why I haven't noticed. She has three clips on her belt.
Three.
Not one, not two, but three.
Three clips. I'm guessing there's one in the pistol.
Good guess.
So that's four. That's, you're ready.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Well, like, I consider right. Where I'm, I mean, look where I'm coming.
Yeah, you know, right.
I mean.
Exactly. Yeah. One says Chaz, one says AJ, uh-huh. One says Pam.
Where's Phil's? Just in case, you never know.
Man, that's badass.
Yep.
That's not, we're going to fire a couple warning shots here. This is going to be a potentially, I'm ready for a gun battle.
Or it's AJ. a lot of warnings.
This is the thing that we don't think about when we think about the men and women who put a uniform on every day.
Yeah.
They leave the house and potentially could get into something like that.
Exactly.
Where you have to wear three clips on your belt.
Three clips, yeah.
Badass. And then Trooper Cummings. This is a cop show right here.
It is.
Grant Cummings.
Like a buddy.
Follow them around.
Like a buddy cop movie. Yes.
She's got a taser right in the front.
Nice. She's very serious.
She's
nice.
Oh, see, told her about me.
The thing I like about the taser, it's not lethal. So, like, if someone annoys you, you just pull it out.
And they're fun at parties.
Right? Have you ever, she has three clips, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These are like Batman utility belts over here.
Exactly. This is why I'm in this room, by the way.
Yeah.
You need to come spend a day with us one day at our academy.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I would really love that.
I only have two clips, though. So
you know, I'm not one of these macho guys who thinks, oh, I can hang. I'm like, no, I can, you know. But I would be interested to see what you're able to do.
I get some coffee.
and then you got Pam, who's joining the Coast Guard.
I know.
I mean,
amazing.
We got three badass women.
That's amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
Watch out, guys.
Do you have any advice that you can give to Pam from, you know, a woman entering, not a man's world, but you
really
know,
it is.
Typically
it is.
A
yeah.
man's world, right?
Yeah, it is. It's it really is about being competent. At your job.
Forget it, Pam.
Second time you've made that comment.
In 40 minutes.
These guests don't put themselves.
This is true. This is very true.
I'm going to miss you very much.
Me too.
So it's being competent.
Yeah, definitely. It's
so she'll
competent.
Have to do better than a guy.
You know, it really, that is kind of, you know, in the beginning, that is what it is. That's just a reality of it.
It's probably true for any woman in any job, right? You got to outperform the guy to just be considered.
Correct. You have to show that you are competent at the job, that you can do the same job as them.
Yeah.
And I think whenever you get assigned a job, whatever that job is, doing that to the best of your ability.
Yes.
So whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's, you know, you're on the chow hall detail in boot camp or you get assigned when you're done, you just attack that and do it the best that you absolutely can do.
Right. So when you screw up like I do, make sure you screw up worse than me.
Yeah. No, okay. I'm going to do that.
You sound like you've served. Have you served?
No, I have not.
No, okay. No. Is there a state police trooper boot camp?
Well, we have the training academy, yeah, so that's recruit training.
Oh,
and
okay.
We have a class in right now that's scheduled to graduate next month.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Check that out.
Because you're paramilitary.
Paramilitary,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
They post videos on Instagram of some of their workouts, and it's like badass.
It's badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I follow you guys on Instagram, and I also follow the Coast Guard. I'm looking at these pictures from the Coast Guard. I'm like, They don't do this stuff. Do they really do this stuff? They have like big guns and everything.
Actually, the Coast Guard follow me.
Like, holy cow.
Even like when I go in a pool, they're there.
Right. Learn how to swim first.
Kind of watch.
Well, we appreciate what you two.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
All the men and women.
Thank you.
State Police Department. We're going to get to this internet safety thing in a second. All right. Because we're going to need a little bit more time than I have now. So we'll take a break and come back. Sure. But this is how you could protect yourself, AJ, from some of those sketchy sites you go to.
Oh, mm-hmm. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yes.
You could
or how others can protect themselves from AJ.
Yes.
There was no protection from me. There is no protection.
If you had a trooper encounter, if you've ever been pulled over, call in, tell your story. We'll put you in the running.
A trooper encounter.
Surprise.
Adam Sandler tickets, 1-877-764-2535. Trooper First Class Kelly Grant and Trooper Kate Cummings in studio with the Connecticut State Police. They're on this tour, AJ. It's a safety social media awareness tour seminar thingy.
Can I arrest trolls?
And
seriously.
So, you know, if you have children and they're on the internet, what do you do?
Well, I think we've been seeing so many issues, especially in the schools, with kids who are using social media, and it's not going anywhere. So we've been trying to tour around and give parents and educators, caregivers, whoever will listen, advice on kind of the blueprint for positivity on social media, because we know the kids aren't going to get off of it. So how do we use it in a positive way?
Right. Because it's tough when you were a kid back in the day. You get bullied at school, but you go home and it's over.
Right.
Yep.
And now it just never ends.
It never ends. Yeah. You know? It just perpetuates. It's instantaneous and it's permanent. You know, so as soon as somebody screenshots and forwards, we're just seeing such issues at such a young age, too, and the way that it's impacting kids. So we've been traveling around. We have a bunch of dates coming up in the next couple of weeks, free seminars for parents, educators, whoever wants to attend on what the trends are, what we're seeing across the state of Connecticut, the most popular apps, some adolescent behaviors, and we have some free resources for parents as well.
Yeah, for example, if like says, AJ, you're a jerk, and you like 500 likes on that. That sucks. I appreciate that, Chaz.
AJ does get bullied on social media, but he asks for it.
Yeah.
So is part of it like not posting pictures of yourself with like shirtless sleeves and gym selfies?
Hey, I'm expressing myself.
Yeah, I mean sleeveless shirts rather.
Well, isn't it crazy though? We see adults engaging in that behavior too.
Yeah.
So no wonder that.
Yes.
Right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no. She means as far as the bowling part goes.
I'm going to show you some pictures.
Oh, no.
Of this guy over here, my partner.
Do you need a lesson?
No. I don't know. You might.
Oh, okay.
They were actually pretty good.
Yeah.
You have a nice body.
Thank you. It was just, I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
You admit it.
Well, yeah, after the feedback I got, but please continue.
So when young Chaz was like 9 or 10, a friend of mine texted me, or no, couldn't even text back then. I think he called me and said,
old school.
Hey, have you seen young Chaz's MySpace profile?
Oh, MySpace. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a throwback.
Yeah,
I'm
really?
Like,
yeah.
No. Like, go take a look at it.
I have a mullet all of a sudden.
He listed himself as a 25-year-old person.
Oh, I remember you telling me about this. Yes.
Yeah. So, you really have to keep track of what they're doing. It's not easy now. There's so many things to look at or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you run through all that?
We do. Yep. What some of the most popular apps. So obviously Instagram and Snapchat are the two most popular that we see. But things like Roblox and Fortnite, I think a lot of parents feel, it's a kid's app or a lot of kids are on it. But unfortunately, we've been seeing an increase in predators who are creating fake profiles on those apps, knowing that young kids are on there. Yeah.
That's
so
scary.
We can't just take comfort in, it's a kid app. We need, as parents, as police officers, as educators, if we're working with kids, we need to be monitoring those sites as well.
Yeah, that's where you have to go.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
and watch, because that's going to attract the weirdos.
Exactly.
You know, that's where.
Like a beacon.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
the worst.
Crazy.
The worst.
When we do these presentations with kids, we ask them, how many of you have been on these social media sites for more than a couple of years? And they all raise their hands. But you have to be a certain age to download these apps. So we kind of draw the comparison of, you guys lied in order to download these apps, right? You weren't the age you were supposed to be.
Right.
So if you guys were lying, not because we want to get them in trouble, but who else is lying about their age on there?
Right. Then they realize,
it kind of clicks.
Yeah, it's one of those aha moments. Oh.
Wait a minute, kids lie? The hell you say?
Let's take a couple of trooper encounters here.
Oh, boy.
All right, Chaz and AJ, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, I...
We're good with the recording, Phil. I think we're going to need the calls.
Yeah.
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, Chaz. Ray from West Haven. What's going on, brother?
Hey, you got the whole crew.
Yeah, don't forget me, man.
Trooper, first class Grant. Trooper coming.
Hey, I bought a state trooper that pulled me over.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so I'm coming in from the airport. My wife, myself, my kid. So I'm doing maybe 80, a little fast. All of a sudden, we get pulled over. Cop comes to the side. So I'm pulling out my registration the whole bit. My son's like, elbowing. I'm like, what? Look at his last name. It's the same last name as mine. I'm like, holy smoke. Come to find out, it's a cousin that I never met.
Look at that.
Oh, how funny.
That's, right.
That's
nice.
One way to meet them.
And now he knows where to find you. Mm-hmm.
But the question is, did he give you a ticket?
Yes, and now we're decided to go for half an hour conversation, talking about the old family, the tree, the whole bit. Now he's like my best friend.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right.
It'd be funny. It's like, oh, your mother is okay, that's it. Get out of the car.
Exactly. Now I got to tell you.
Yeah, my mom's been wanting this to happen for a long time.
She hates you.
All right, you're in the running for Adam Sandler tickets. Thank you. Is it weird for you girls to like be out shopping or something, and then someone's like, I know you from somewhere.
Yeah.
And you don't want to say, have you been pulled over?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Or some other situation where the state police were involved.
Yeah, it happens occasionally. Yeah.
Right. I had a guy one day who came up to me, I have to admit it, in a bar, and he said, I know you from somewhere. And I said, oh, no, I'm not from around here. And he goes, oh, wait. This and he turned around and he put his hands behind his back and he said, you arrested me like 10 years ago.
There
I was like, geez, I must have left quite the impression if you remember that from 10 years ago.
On his wrist mainly.
Yeah. Put his hands behind his back.
Yeah. No, but I'll see you on the ride home.
But generally, they thank you, right? And they say it was a bad time. Oh, you look at you. You're like, not really.
I mean, it depends. I mean, some people, you know, for me anyway, my experience with speeding in particular. You know, most people are like, I was speeding. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's, I think it's a given really for most people when you pull them over anyway. You know, they say they were speeding.
No one does.
Only every now and then do you get the excuse, or do I get the excuses for.
Right.
And we're very fortunate. I think we're so supported by citizens in this state.
We
get a lot of people who are really supportive of us as an agency, as individuals. Right. And so we're very fortunate.
We were going to play you some audio of this guy being a real jerk to a cop. And because we all listened to him, we're like, there's no way any of us would not pull our taser out and just the mouth.
Yeah, he would actually fell like four times.
Yeah, how do you, is there first. Training for that too?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
For tolerance?
Yeah.
Yep. Just, you know, one of the things is in the academy, we are taught how to just let people yell. You know, some people are venting. Some people are mad at themselves and they take it out on us. Some people are late to things or somebody got fired or somebody lost their student aid at school. I actually had that once. And she started yelling at me and then she started crying. And I was like, what in the world just happened
here? I don't know.
And then she said, you know, I just lost my aid at school. Now I can't go back to school.
Right. So it was something else that was going on.
Right. So you do, you know, sometimes you do have to just, you know, stop and listen to people. They just need somebody to vent to.
Even
right.
beyond traffic stops, you know, when we're getting called, it's for usually
it's
when somebody is
having a bad day.
Yep.
Right.
Needs us or needs assistance. Mm-hmm. And,
You're seeing people sometimes at their worst.
Absolutely. And then you give them a ticket.
I would have been a good cop in the 70s when there weren't all these cell phones and cameras.
Damn straight.
I don't know. Suspect fell down the stairs and then back up and then down again.
I can't believe he ran to the bullet four times.
Back up and then down again.
Patrick in Seaside. Patrick?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had a trooper, and it didn't happen to me yesterday. I was on my way to the dispensary yesterday, and they had an event at exit 34. Fairfield police closed the exit, and kind of traffic backed up. And, you know, when traffic lets go, people want to kind of hammer down a little bit. Well, this crotch rocket went flying by me, and all of a sudden, he went past a trooper car, an unmarked trooper car, maybe 100-plus miles an hour. And then the trooper car lit him up, and he tried to get off at exit 37. And by the time I got to exit 37, the guy was in his trooper pose with the chin strapped down, so pissed off. And the guy was getting off his bike with his trying to get his license out, and he had his doctors on and his little...
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. We got to go to a break here, but I just want to thank you two for coming in. Thank you for everything you do. the Eagles announced they're doing a couple of dates in Vegas, playing all of Hotel California, then a couple of hits at the end. Is this something that could possibly come to Connecticut?
I actually called and asked because everybody probably knows how much I love the Eagles. And, no, this is their plan. Just they hadn't planned to do any shows this year. And at the last minute, decided to do this, so they're going to do this. From what I understand, this is it for the for 2019.
Ah. And you mentioned something before on this show that made me think, well, it makes a lot of sense. It's very rare. Well, you're talking about Van Halen playing Chicago, the original lineup. And you said it's rare when you put all these people together, this entire team, that you're not going to take it out on the road. Do you think that this could be a trial run, and then maybe in 2020 we see them come around doing Hotel California?
Yeah, I think you might be right on that. It's certainly one of their it's their iconic album. It's not one of theirs. It is their iconic album. If you look at the set list, the song list on that album, it's
unbelievable.
It is a pretty amazing album.
Masterpiece.
Oh, it truly is. It truly is. And I don't remember what year it came out. 77? I don't really remember.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah,
something like that. So, you know, I think that it's a great idea. Look, they play a lot of the songs on that album anyway. But there is sort of fun watching it in order, because people that grew up when we grew up played albums and songs followed songs.
Right.
And they sort of connected with each other. When I hear a song, I think of the next song on the album, because that's what followed it. Today's world is just songs, no albums. So people don't have that connection. I mean, Glad should never be played without Freedom Rider afterwards.
Right.
And there are a number of songs that everybody feels that about. People of today's day don't feel that way anymore. There's just no connection. So when you hear the Eagles do that, you know, you hear Hotel California and the song that follows it, you'd think that's what should come up. So I think it's a real treat when that happens. Steely Dan does that a lot, you know, with albums. They play albums through. When I saw Steely Dan in New York, they did Asia, and, you know, there's only three songs on each side. At the end of the third song, some lady in high heels walked over, went over to a turntable, literally put the record on the other side, put the needle back on the record, and walked off, and Steely Dan started side two.
That's funny. Right.
That is really cool.
Pretend they had to skip and put a nickel on their head.
So, I think it's great. I love it. I mean, when Springsteen did it, it was great. When he did his albums, I just think it's great when they do this. And they did it in Vegas, where it's a destination spot, so I'm sure a lot of people are going to fly in to see this.
Right, so it's one thing, we'll stay in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm looking for the track list here, because every single song you would recognize. Phil, can you look it up?
Of course you can. That's Phil.
How many?
Yeah, if you really look, I did it yesterday. I did the same thing. I want to say, okay, what songs are on the album?
Yeah. So how would the concert unfold?
Well, right.
It's astonishing. I didn't realize how great an album it was until I looked at the songs.
Go ahead.
Side one, song one, Hotel California.
Nice.
And then it goes into New Kid in Town, Life in the Fast Lane, Wasted Time. Then there's
great piece.
Right.
It's a song that doesn't get recognized because it's on an album with Hotel California, Life in the Fast Lane, New Kid in Town.
Right, yeah.
Victim of Love, but yeah, go ahead.
That's side two, so I know that's one of your favorites. Yeah. Victim of Love, Pretty Maids All in a Row, Try and Love Again, and The Last Resort.
And The Last Resort, that's another one. Glenn Frey called that Don Henley's,
Hey Jude.
Yeah.
His Stairway to Heaven, yes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just such an amazing piece.
It's one of those albums that doesn't have a bad song on it.
Right.
Which, you know, I love to, you know, John Barleycorn to me doesn't have a bad song on it. Abbey Road doesn't have a bad song on it. Hard Day's Night doesn't have a bad song on it. There's a number of albums that people have that, you know, Rumors doesn't have a bad song on
it. Toto, however, has all bad songs.
I don't mind Toto. We went to see Springsteen's The River, and there's a lot of iconic songs, but then you have to sit through a few where it's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah. And then I wanted to ask you about Mick Jagger before we start taking some calls and other questions.
Yeah, that hurt me. You know, his tour was not a Live Nation tour, so it didn't hurt us economically in any way. But, you know, one of the great, you know, it shows the fallibility of people at a certain age, and he's 75, and he, needs a, you know, a stent or whatever, a valve put in his heart.
Yeah.
It's sort of depressing when you hear that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a guy with a lot of energy. I remember seeing the Stones at Shea Stadium, and I had seats where, you know, I had to duck my head when planes flew over.
Uh-huh.
And the energy that one little ant brought to the entire stadium was insane, because he would go off. Keith Richards would sing a song. It was like seeing a cover band.
Exactly.
And he comes back out, and the whole place goes nuts.
Yeah, how is it not Keith?
How a small little person. Have you ever, of course you've met Mick Jagger. What's that like? What's he like?
He's a little guy.
Yep.
He's a little guy. He's probably about 5'6". He really is a little guy, and you think of him as a big guy because he's Mick Jagger. So
right.
You think he's
larger
big.
Than life, yeah.
And awfully nice, awfully smart, can sit down and have a conversation with you on anything. He's totally not your typical rock star. Totally not.
It seems weird. The guys girls that have had the most amount of success are the most grounded people.
Right. Then you have Keith, who's on the floor.
Yeah. Have you met Keith, and have you seen him? Of course you did.
Don't step on me.
I'm forgetting the Rolling Stones were at Toad's Place, and that was for your 40th birthday.
Wow, that's right.
Right. So, yeah, you were hanging with them at Toad's Place, right?
After the show, I hung with them, yes.
After.
Well, they had just given me $10,000 birthday gift. I was going to hang with them as long as they want. By the way, anybody out there, give me a $10,000 birthday gift, I'll hang with you, too.
Exactly, right. I hit the lottery, man. We're hanging.
So, but actually, Keith was interesting because he's a Connecticut resident. He lives in Weston. And when the time comes, we have to take the state income tax out for the artists, for all the artists, we subtract 6.99% from whatever fee we're paying because we send it over to the state of Connecticut, except if you're a Connecticut resident. So when we had the Stones, we had to separate him outside the corporation because he's going to pay the 6.9% on his own income that comes out of this show.
Right.
So, and you do that with Michael Bolton. We did that with James Taylor when he lived in Connecticut. You know, Edgar Winter lived in Connecticut. Meatloaf lived in Connecticut. There are a whole bunch of stars that we always had to make special arrangements for when the tax time came.
Right.
But Keith was really nice, hard to understand what he was saying when I was talking to him.
What a shock, really.
It seems like when Bob Dylan played Toads, he didn't find it important to enunciate. He didn't even care enough to enunciate the words. And I feel like Keith Richards is that at that stage in his life where it's like, yeah, it doesn't even matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to him. I agree with you. I've never spoken to Dylan face-to-face when he sings. I totally agree with you. I'm sitting and talking to Keith Richards, and I turned around and said to my wife, I said, is he speaking English? Because I really don't understand what he's
saying. I'm British, baby.
Either that joint was really good or he's not speaking English. Or both.
Right.
Or both.
Since we're playing Pat Benatar, any chance of her coming around to the Oakdale or maybe the Bridgeport Arena when that opens?
Yeah, I'd like to do it. I once actually promoted her at the Bridgeport High Life Fronton.
Oh, wow.
So it would be a grand return to Bridgeport. But absolutely one of the nicest people in the business.
Really?
Offered to babysit for my daughter back when they didn't have kids, and I introduced her to my daughter in Bridgeport, and she said, oh, if you're ever in the city, please drop her off. Neil and I would gladly take her for the night. You can pick her up on the way home. I mean, I never had a rock star ever say that.
Wow, what a nice person.
That's very nice.
Really. Stevie Nicks, right? Stevie Nicks was showing your daughter how to do ballet.
Yep. Yep, she did that. Yeah. Well, you know what? That's what's great about women. They're nurturing and they care. Men are idiots.
Men, not so much.
Yeah,
did you get a chance? You get a chance to see The Dirt yet? The Motley Crue movie?
No, I have to see it. People tell me it's great. I was a little disappointed. I actually thought it was Motley Crue in it.
Yeah.
And same thing happened to me. I was taken aback, but I'm going to watch it. I am going
to
watch it.
Okay, same thing happened to me. So I click on it. I think it's going to be Motley Crue and footage and, narration from the band, and I see actors, and I immediately turned it right off. I ran into a couple tribe members, and then my young son told me, you got to watch it.
Yep.
And I watched it, and I enjoyed it immensely, and you will appreciate it more than anybody because it's a lot of the backstage shenanigans.
Yep.
Good. I hope nobody's playing me.
Not yet. That's volume two.
You might see a little bit of you in some, one or two of these characters.
You never know.
They didn't put the New Haven thing in there. They covered a lot of many decades in a short period of time. Pamela Anderson
right.
wasn't.
Haven has a special place in history for Motley Crue.
That's
no
right.
Question about it.
Yeah. That would have been. You know, I was looking forward to that, but
Splat.
That
yep.
wasn't in there.
Yep.
It would have been good. Rush him to the hospital. Falls from his drum kit.
Right.
Yeah, it would have been good Hollywood stuff. No
left,
question about it.
Left his mark. That's for sure.
Where were you in the Coliseum when that happened?
I was actually on the side of the stage.
So you saw it?
No, I didn't see it. I wasn't watching him. I was watching the audience at the time, and all of a sudden, I heard it.
He's mic'd up.
Heard it.
Yeah, he's mic'd up.
Yeah, and I looked up on the stage and went, "Oh my God!" Because he fell from the ceiling, but he fell from the hydraulic lift that was lifting his drum kit up, and I went, oh, and I heard him hit the ground, and I didn't know what hit the ground, and then all of a sudden everybody's panicking because Tommy was hurt,
right?
And he was hurt.
Yeah,
they rushed him to the hospital.
And he's so light, he actually didn't fall right away. He kind of like drifted like a feather.
But that thud must be a sound you'll always remember.
Yes, no question about it. Yep. Oh my goodness. Now that it was a person, it really affected me. I didn't think it was a person.
Right. And then the crowd reaction was stunned silence at first because they don't know if that was supposed to happen or not.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
And yeah.
Then we had to put the lights up, and everybody's wondering what's going on here.
And then. You know. That was it for the show, right?
That was it for the show. We panicked backstage. We didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
We were all panicking, oh, my goodness. And we rushed him to the hospital, and that was the end of the show.
And did you go out on stage and announce, or did Vince? I think I heard Vince went out.
Yeah, Vince went out. I did not go out.
And he said, "We'll be back."
Yes. And I'm not sure we ever brought him back.
No. So
I
there
think
was...
we brought him to Hartford, but never back to New Haven.
Right. So there was talk on... It, behind the scenes at the radio station at the time, because I was here, that, you know, do we have this campaign, bring them back,
right.
honor the
yeah.
tickets, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, we reached out to you or whatever, but...
I mean, oh, yeah, just... I mean, and I wanted it that way.
Yeah.
I'd love to get another Coliseum show on Motley Crue. I thought it was a great idea, but the band, I checked it with the band, and they didn't want to be pushed into doing something.
Right, and they were enough songs into it to call it a day. I'm guessing when you get to the drum solo, you're more than a few songs in, right?
Yeah, but I went on PLR afterwards. I went up to PLR, and I promised everybody the next time they come, and then they're holding a stub to the ticket, the next time they come to the Coliseum, we'll give them a discount. Another one of my terrible lies that I told on stage.
Hey, got you at the door, right?
Oops. Well, they never brought him back. I would have given a discount, but they never came back.
It's not your fault. Not your fault.
Oh, my nose. I got a Pinocchio nose.
Oh, if you get a chance, Jimmy, watch that movie.
I will be.
Yeah, check out this weekend, man.
Michael in Milford is asking about some music festival coming to Bridgeport. I heard about this. Not a Live Nation thing, right?
I'm not even aware of it.
Yeah. Somebody emailed me something about it. Mark and the Oil Truck on a co-headlining tour. How is it decided which band headlines which show?
Who's the headlining band?
He's saying just basically when you have, like, who did we have?
Like, yeah, Def Leppard and Journey.
Okay. Yeah, something of that nature.
It's decided between the bands. Def Leppard and Journey switched off each night. One was the headliner, one wasn't the headliner. I still believe who's not the headliner is the better spot to be. Because after, and I saw it happen in Hartford, after a rousing Def Leppard set, and they were really spectacular that night, about halfway through the Journey set, it was a Monday night, people started streaming out. They were tired. It was, you know, it's not that the Def Leppard Journey fans are 20-year-olds anymore.
Right.
So I told the Journey manager, personally, I'd always open up the show. I think it's a better slot, but... The band's egos don't allow that.
Right.
So it's always decided between the bands.
The other critique I heard with that show was that they were doing like long guitar solos and everyone was doing a solo, and Def Leppard came out, played all the hits the way they were on the records, and a big difference.
Just banged it out.
Yep.
Trucker Kevin wants to know about Charlie Daniels.
Oh, well, Charlie Daniels, I'm working on getting Charlie Daniels into Oakdale. It'll be October, November, and I'm trying to put the Allman Betts Band on as the opening act.
What is that?
That's Dickie's son, Greg's son, and Barry Oakley's son.
Damn.
They're all, and they play Allman Brothers music. They play their own music, but they also play Allman Brothers music.
That's great.
Greg's
so
son.
I'm
looks
dying
like
to see yeah. it. It's the closest thing I'll get to seeing the Allman Brothers, and it's blood, so it should be pretty interesting.
Oh, I love that. And so when do you think we'll know on that one?
We should know. I hope to close it today, certainly by the end of the week. I'm going to get it on sale as quick as I can, so hopefully it will go on sale next week. I've got Charlie all set up. I've just got to finish up at the Allman Betts Band.
Damn. Ray in Stratford wants to know about bringing government mule back.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. I'm not aware of them going on the road, but I'd love to bring them to Oakdale. We've had them at Oakdale. We'll look to bring them back for sure.
Dave in Bethlehem wants to know about the Waifs.
The Waifs?
The Waifs.
The Waifs.
Never heard of it.
No, me neither, so I can't bring them in.
They're right.
Have the Waifs call Jimmy.
Dave. Exactly right.
Yeah, really. I might not pick up on them.
Let's go over here. Kate in Oakville. Kate?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. You're on with Jimmy Koplik.
Yes, I want to know about the Scorpions. Will they ever be coming around? Because
I hope they'll be coming around sometime this year at Mohegan Sun. I'm trying to get them right now.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Oh, see? My 16-year-old son will go crazy. Oh, he's been obsessed with them for years. Oh, man.
He's just 15.
He loves Klaus. He can't believe he's 70 years old and he gyrates on stage the way he does.
not intentionally.
He's 70 and gyrates.
Not intentionally. He has a hip problem.
Yeah. All right, Kate. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you know, if you put the Scorpions on sale for Mohegan Sun, you got two tickets sold.
Jimmy. Easily, yeah, maybe three.
That's good. I'm 4,898 tickets away.
All right.
See? Nice.
What do you think the chances are of getting the Scorps?
I think they're pretty good. They keep saying it's their final tour, and they never get off the road.
It's true.
I think it's pretty good.
She mentioned 70. Billy Joel is turning 70 and celebrating at Madison Square Garden.
Yes, May 9th. I actually had him on his 49th birthday at the Hartford Civic Center. And I'm going to go to the show and hang with him and watch him turn 70 because I'm still 69. I can't wait to tease him that he's with somebody younger, since
right.
I'm younger.
Exactly, right. You'll show your ID. He can't.
You know what? Isn't that the show to go to, like Billy's birthday party?
I think so.
You know it's not going to be B-list people up on stage.
Yep,
yeah,
exactly.
No, you're right. You're right. We went on Valentine's Day to see Billy, and it was really nice. He had his daughter come up on stage because it was Valentine's Day, and he sang every song he wrote for his wives. He sang Just the Way You Are, which is his first wife's song, Uptown Girl, which is his second wife's song. Christy was Uptown Girl. So he was singing all the songs he wrote for his wives.
The whole set list.
Which is sort of cool.
Got married a lot.
It's funny.
Yeah, but he stopped writing songs in 1994, so the last two wives didn't get songs.
Yep, yeah. They got screwed, yep.
So I want to spend the 70th birthday with Billy, so that'll be fun. So we're going to head down there on May 9th.
Awesome. Be some big have a good time. I'm expecting there would be big names
I would think.
Coming out. At least one big name, yeah.
Yeah, I got to be. Last month he played, he had John Fogerty come out.
Oh, wow.
See?
And they did two Creedence songs.
We got Kevin James.
We did.
When we were
filming for Kevin Can Wait.
Yeah.
In the front.
A little disappointing. We like Kevin James. But,
he did sing, Still Rock and Roll to Me!
Yeah.
He sells tickets. He sells out Mohegan Sun every time we bring him in.
Oh, yeah. No, he's great. I love Kevin James.
No, good people, down to earth. But we were hoping for someone musical to hear, you know.
Well, he was musical, not intentionally, but. Yeah.
Mouse in North Haven wants to know Weezer, Dave Grohl, Tenacious D.
Well, I'm disappointed that the Foo Fighters are not touring. That's a terrible disappointment to me. I thought they would. And I had actually spoke to them about touring this year, and they decided not to for some reason. Weezer's doing a summer tour, but not playing Connecticut. And Tenacious D, I don't believe, is on the road.
Okay. And Bob Seger, I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah, hoping to get a Bob Seger date before the end of the year. He's going to do an arena run at the end of the year, and we're pushing to get Hartford or Mohegan Sun on the tour.
Awesome. Jimmy, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
You got it.
All right, thank you, brother. Dave Mustaine, Megadeth, on the show. He's performing this Saturday at the Toyota Presents Oakdale in the Tribute to Hendrix show. Dave, good morning. Welcome back to the show. Have you been watching these rock movies like The Dirt on Netflix or the Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody?
Been kind of living one.
I feel like you guys are next, but I was just wondering, one, did you see him? Two, what'd you think?
Well, I did see Bohemian Rhapsody, and course, my bassist married the manager for Motley Crue's assistant. So it was like a step cousin kind of relationship.
They have shared DNA. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know what other movies are going to be coming out. I'm sure there's going to be a lot.
Yeah. It seems like there's a wave now.
Yep. Be a trend.
Just seems that that's what Hollywood does. If something is a hit, then we need more of that.
Yes. Yeah. Saturate them.
And there was a scene.
It's not like this is, it's not like this is even new, because they've just gone from one train wreck to another. You know, first it's reality TV, now it's reality band TV. I mean, how much of it is legit? How much is, you know, a little bit of some bravado in the editing room?
If you were approached to do one on your life, would you do it?
I don't know. And, you know, there's a lot of bands out there that would have that same movie done, but because they're not Motley Crue, it would be boring as hell, you know?
A story following you, though, I think would be really cool. I think, you know, trying out for Metallica, being hired before you formally auditioned, right? I mean, weren't you just warming up and they overheard you and said, all right, you're in?
Yeah.
That was easy.
I mean, how old were you then?
20.
You're 20 years old.
Nice.
You're a baby.
A baby.
And then now you're in Metallica. So that lasted, what, 2 years?
About that, yeah.
Yeah. You were just partying a little bit too much, or what happened?
No, this story's so tired, you guys. Really?
I know. I know. And you know what? There are people listening now who haven't heard it. It's like when you play a concert, when you do this Hendrix thing, you're going to be playing, someone's going to play Purple Haze. And
sure.
People want to hear it. So I can move on if you want. I'm just trying to, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So we can talk about Jimi Hendrix. I think if you want to know about
it. Why don't you do that?
Okay.
We parted ways. It's all over the internet. It's been talked about for 35 years.
Okay.
The Hendrix thing is great. I think with Jimmy and his legacy and stuff, that was so much more guitar credo than I felt that I've ever had. You know, I know what I do in the metal world. You know, I'm pretty confident with my skill set, but in playing Jimmy, you know, there's not a lot of guitar players that really changed the approach people made with guitars. And Jimmy was one of those guys. And I noticed when I was learning his style, because I didn't play any Hendrix stuff ever, and learning his style, it was really different. There was a lot of hand movement, but it was in such a small area where he was making so much commotion but barely moving his hand. Really brilliant guitar use.
Well, plus technology back in the day, there really wasn't anything, so in order to do something like that, you had to do it with your hands.
Do we know what songs you're playing, or how does that work? Do you guys just go out and jam?
Yeah, sure.
Or
well, each guy's a little different. Some of the guys that are there have been doing this for a long time, so they obviously know the, I'm going to get into some guitar speak right now. They know the modality and all the Hendrix scales and all the different songs. Like I said, I had to learn this stuff as soon as we confirmed the tour. And the songs that I got are such signature songs. It's songs everybody knows the solos to. So I wanted to stick with the exact version from the studio. I play Fire, I play Purple Haze, and I play Stone Free.
They obviously gave you the cream of the crop.
Yeah, and how much time do you have to learn them?
Well, see, that's the crazy thing, guys. You know, we didn't know what songs I was supposed to play until right before we left, basically.
Oops.
Billy Cox told me, you know, we're less than 2 months out, and I don't even know who I'm playing with. And I said, me neither. So, it really literally was less than 2 months out, and nobody knew what songs or who was confirmed or who was playing with who. And in Purple Haze, I'm playing by myself, so it's just a little bit of some hand technique. But I thought there was a wah-wah in Purple Haze listening to it, and I tried that, and I thought, you know what, that's not what it sounds like. So I listened harder and harder and harder. And it's just his hand. It's just this magic this guy has in his hands, the way he's picking it.
Wow.
It's just crazy.
Does it sound like Jimi Hendrix, or does it sound like Dave Mustaine doing Jimi Hendrix, or is it a combination?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't sound like Jimmy. It sounds like me trying to do Jimmy.
It's incredible when you think of the lineup, and so you buy one ticket and you see all of this talent in one night. Billy Cox, Joe right. Satriani, Johnny Lang, Dweezil Zappa, Eric Johnson, you, right. and I don't mean to put you last in that line, but okay. yeah, and then all of these other, it's insane, and then it's all the music of Hendrix, and it's this Saturday at the Toyota Presents Oakdale Theater. It starts at 8. There's still a few tickets left. So while we're looking yeah. forward to it, it's this Saturday, few tickets left, and we're linked up at WPLR.com. Dave, always an honor to speak to you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks. You're welcome. Dave. You're welcome. Have a great day.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.